This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million small business owners. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/know-how.
Today on Know-How,
we are getting our game on and turning some screws.
Welcome to Know How. This is the show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Brian Burnett.
And I am Nathan Olivares-Giles, filling in for Padre.
What the heck's going on? Padre's gone.
He's on a silent retreat.
He hasn't been so silent. I've been seeing
he's
him talk a lot.
He's still tweeting and stuff?
Yeah, he's still tweeting a lot.
That's got to stop.
He's having a good time in Portland, though. So.
Yeah, he's in the PDX. He's in the Rose City. We hope he's having great coffee and, what else do you do in Portland besides great coffee?
Besides not talking for, the next 2 months?
Yeah.
Which is going to be really hard for him, but we're taking over the show today, and I figured this last week was some big news in the gaming industry. E3 just happened.
It's a big deal. It's like, if you care about gaming, you care about E3. Everyone comes out with a bunch of news.
Have you ever been before?
Yeah, actually, this is the first year that I haven't gone in person, I guess, in the last, 3 years.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah. So last year was my first time. Okay. Me and Padre actually went, did a few interviews. We got to check out, Breath of the Wild before it was, it was still pretty beta.
Yeah.
It didn't run so great. I'm glad that they've done what they've done.
Took their time with it. Because they were shown that at, E3 for, the last 3 years.
Yes.
Remember, that was originally supposed to be a Wii U game. And they're well, we'll just launch an entire new console with it. We just take our time.
Yeah, and it was running on the Wii U hardware too, and it wasn't running that great.
No.
But they did a good job with that. But this year, there's a lot of big news. Starting off with Microsoft, I guess, and just the big hardware announcements. There's Scorpio, Project Scorpio, which has been hinted at for a long time,
It has a name.
Not a good name necessarily.
Xbox One X. This is a compliment to the Xbox One S, and now Microsoft says, well, the Xbox One is a family of consoles. We have two options. We have the regular One S, which they cut down from $250 to $200, which is great. I like price cuts. And so that one does HDR gaming. It does regular 1080p gaming, and it will play back 4K Blu-rays and 4K streaming.
Yeah.
The Xbox One X does the same things, but it introduces what they're calling native 4K gaming.
Yeah.
There should be a little asterisk there, a little caveat. That's if the developers actually make their game in native 4K.
Right.
Some 4K games are going to be using different resolution methods to basically get there without native 4K.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of games on the PlayStation 4 Pro use something called checkerboard rendering. So there's that sort of stuff. If you have 1080p games, it will upscale it. But the promise here is that you'll have, a future-proofed console with all the great hardware, the most powerful console of all time.
Right.
And it's also $500, which is
$500. Yeah. So that's pretty steep as far as consoles are concerned.
Yeah, it's $100 more than the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
It's just
More powerful. I mean, you can make that argument.
It's more powerful, but the gaming experience you're going to get so far is the same.
Any console release, it's going to be about a year until game developers are making games that take advantage of that hardware.
Yeah.
And just running down the specs real quick, it's 8-core AMD CPU, 12 gigs of GDDR5 RAM, and it does 6 teraflop GPU, which basically it's I think a new 1080 Ti does around 11 teraflops.
Wow.
So, but that card costs more than the Xbox One X, which is still so weird to say.
Yeah, terrible name. Microsoft has really bad naming conventions.
Yes.
Just, the Xbox is a cool name.
But that works. We're used to it now. Yeah. Even the 360 was a little jarring, too, because like, this is your second console. Okay, you're going full circle? Is that why it's 360? All right,
and
whatever,
then
I'll deal with it.
And then the Xbox One comes, and it's actually the third Xbox, the third generation of the Xbox. Now we're on our third version of the third generation Xbox. It's still called the One, and it's the One S and the One X, and the old one is just retired.
They're just screwing with us at this point. But if there was anything that I appreciated at of the internet from E3 was all the jokes and stuff that were made. So I think we've got a link to some of the other naming conventions that people were talking about. Like the One Xbox, which is the original one, One Xbox Box, then the One Xbox One, One Xbox One Box, the One Xbox One X, One Xbox One Xbox.
Man, that right there exposes how goofy this naming system really is.
It is, but I still want one.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. I got a 1S, and I have a PlayStation 4 Pro, and I don't have an HDR or 4K TV yet.
That's what I was going to ask. I don't either.
I want to get one, right? And I've tested both of those consoles in the past with 4K HDR TVs. The 4K, the resolution doesn't really jump out at you, but the HDR does. That's significant, and that alone is worth buying that 4K HDR TV. You can't get like a 1080 HDR TV. That doesn't exist. If you want HDR, you're getting 4K. If you can buy a 4K TV without HDR, don't do that. Like, just do not do that.
Don't make that mistake.
Just
right
don't
off the
be
bat.
That person. Yeah. Just don't be that person. Just get the HDR. But I feel like that's going to be more significant for, you know, the noticeable visual improvement in gaming for this like mid-generation refresh, whatever is going on right now. But full disclosure, you're going to get HDR on the Xbox One S, and you're going to get HDR on PlayStation 4. So you don't really need these stepped-up consoles to do that.
Yeah, and they didn't say anything about VR, because I know that's why PS4 stepped up their game with the Pro. I mean, that's not the only reason, but they have a headset that would go with a capable
console. They've already sold
something
like 10 million of them, so people are actually buying it and actually playing games there.
And we had a lot of fun with the Star Trek VR.
It's a blast.
So a little weird, just hardware from Xbox really is all I was excited about. But then on the PS4, Sony stuff, Shadow of the Colossus remake, which looks pretty cool.
Thrilled about that. That's one of my favorite games of all time. And what I really like about this is, well, you know, it's a beloved game. They're doing the remake. They're bringing it over. It's going to have, you know, improved graphics and all that. But I love video games the way I love films. Mm-hmm. I geek out on movies. I geek out on games. And I, you know, some of my favorite films are like, you know, samurai films from the 50s in black and white and all this kind of thing. I want to be able to play those old games that I loved on my new hardware. Unfortunately, it looks like it's going to have to be a major undertaking every time if that wants to happen. Yeah. But I love that they're paying attention to Shadow of the Colossus this way and bringing that over. I'd like to see more of this. I got to give some props to Microsoft with their backwards compatibility for the Xbox One all the way through the Xbox 360 and the original Xbox. But in order to do that, I think you have to have the disc in order to like unlock the game emulator or whatever.
That's so that you're not pirating it. So they know you're not stealing all those old games that you paid for.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I'd like to see the gaming industry as a whole move towards more like what you get on an iPhone or Android device where you have an app store, you buy an app, you get a new phone, you get a new operating system.
It carries over.
But you can carry over your purchases, right? And Nintendo says they're going to do that with the Switch. But at the same time, like right now, if my Switch breaks, I lose all my game saves for like, you know, I can't take stuff over. So whether or not they'll be able to live up to their promises remains to be seen. Yeah. But that's what I'd like to see. It's like if I'm going to, especially if they're going to shorten the life cycle of consoles with these like mid, you know, cycle refreshes, you know, let me bring my purchases with me as I go on this journey with you and give you hundreds and hundreds of dollars every couple years. And if they do that, I think that would make the console purchase that much more valuable and probably keep you locked into their ecosystem, too. It would be like a smart move on lots of different fronts.
Right. And it's like Nintendo has been notoriously bad about... Yeah. I've bought the same game over and over for different consoles.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of moving towards that direction with like the Steam...
Yeah.
Like kind of thing where you have your library of games, and it doesn't matter what device you have, you bring those stay with your online account.
Yeah.
But like with Nintendo, I bought games for the 3DS. Those aren't going to work on my Wii U, or they're not going to work on my Switch. And so I'm going to have to buy those same games if I want to play them on the Switch.
That's how they get you. I feel like I've bought, you know, the earliest Zelda and Mario games like half a dozen times over and over again.
I know, but speaking of new Mario games, that was the big announcement from Nintendo, which was Super Mario Odyssey, which now looks amazing. Like, it's bonkers crazy, but also I think Mario might be the bad guy now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like this of all the stuff at E3, I feel like this is the thing that people are talking about the most. So Mario can take off his hat. He can put it on top of, like, anything. A dinosaur, a bad guy, a human being, like a light spark, it looked like. And then he basically, his body, like, just then teleports into the hat, and then he can take over that.
He possesses that creature, or...
Yes. Yeah.
Which makes me feel like, is he some sort of demon now? Like, I so want to play this.
Yeah, it begs the question, is Mario the hat? Or is Mario the man? And is the man just been possessed this whole time and, like, running around against his will? Mm. Or, like, what exactly is going on here? New layers of mystery in Mario Odyssey, but I'm stoked. I can't wait to play it. I'm pretty thrilled about it. Although it's still creepy. If I always thought of Mario as a human, and then you see him next to, like, regular proportioned humans in this game. And then you're like, that just, like, looks bizarre.
It's like breaking a wall in the reality or something. You're like, that's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah. I love this frog one because he then lands in the frog hat and then, look, boom. Oh, well, they didn't show it. But the frog gets, like, this little mustache. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime Mario possesses... There you go.
There it is.
Anytime Mario possesses you, you get a mustache. There you go. Like the Koopa and the... You know, so it's like, what? On Bullet Bill. Bullet Bill's got a mustache now.
It looks really fun, but it also looks kind of frightening.
Like, yeah.
Mario is a demon possessing other creatures now.
So one thing that Nintendo didn't really explain here, but Mario Odyssey is supposed to have a multiplayer. And like, what does that look like? I don't even understand.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Is it Grand Theft Auto Mario Free, style?
I don't know if it's sandbox. They didn't really say.
I'm looking forward to that.
Because in the past, it was basically just like, okay, you're Luigi, or you're Peach, or you're Toad, and we're just going to run along together.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be bigger than that. So,
yeah, I don't know.
So Mario Odyssey is coming out this year. They also announced a new Yoshi game. They also announced a new Kirby game and Metroid Prime 4.
Right, which was an awesome title screen, and that was it.
Yeah, basically, like, any game that gets announced, E3 is basically a trailer fest.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of trailers for games, and then if you're at the show, you might get to play some of those games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of executives talking, but anybody really just wants to see the trailers. Yeah. And so for Metroid Prime 4, there was literally, like, a 3-minute trailer of just, like, Metroid, and it's, like, 4, and it said Prime, and then that's it, and then it's over. So you know it's coming. I guess it's supposed to come out in, what, like, 2018, 2019, did they say?
Yeah, I think it was late next year.
Okay.
But, were you ever a Metroid fan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Well, Padre is.
I love Metroid, especially the Prime Trilogy, and then the remastering of the Prime Trilogy, which I bought on the Wii. You know, I haven't been as much into the Metroid games on the 3DS, and they did announce a new Metroid game for the 3DS as well.
Yeah.
But I really do love the Metroid series.
Cool.
And you know, with the Wii, it was interesting. They brought out Prime. They had the whole remastered Prime Trilogy. And then they also had, like, a different Metroid game where you could, like, move between, like, Samus's view from the helmet and then kind of, like, a side-scrolling thing.
That's
so
cool.
You know, we'll see. I mean, since this is Prime, this will probably be a more traditional style. But it seems like they're willing to take some chances and play a little bit with gameplay. Be a little bit more innovative inside of the Metroid series. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to what they do on the Switch.
Yeah, me too. Before we wrap up all this E3 stuff, did you think there was any clear winner this year at E3? Because, I mean, Microsoft hardware, which could be cool or disappointing depending on which way you're coming from. You know, some games from PS4, but, I mean, in my opinion, all Nintendo had to do this E3 is announce games because they've already got the hardware that just came out and build out their library. So I feel like Nintendo kind of, like, came out punching.
Yeah, it's so weird because Nintendo has this different approach. They don't do the big press conference in an arena the way that Microsoft and Sony do. They have their little pre-recorded Nintendo Treehouse video.
Yeah.
And then it's just trailers. But I feel like the things that from, you know, friends, from colleagues, from other tech reporters, and from just what I'm getting from the internet, a whole chatter on Twitter and Instagram and all these different social networks, I feel like people are talking more about what Nintendo's doing than almost anybody else, which is kind of crazy. Sony's in the clear lead in this console life cycle, and they announced a lot of really interesting games. They're going to have a VR version of Doom. They have a new Spider-Man game that looks really good. Of course, Shadow of the Colossus. There's a lot of good-looking stuff, but they didn't really talk about what they're doing for indie games. And I feel like that was missing. In the past, they've always hit that so hard. And that's been, for me, a big reason to buy a PlayStation, even though I have all of them, over an Xbox, right? With Microsoft, you know, they didn't really do anything to reset the game here. That Xbox One X, I feel like, is for people who already own Xboxes and want to be on the cutting edge, right?
Yeah.
So that's not going to get them to catch up in the sales race there.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, Nintendo has blown everybody away with how successful the Switch has been. It's weird to launch a console in March, yeah, and they have a hit on their hands. And like you said, they just needed to announce games. And I think all the games are games that we can look forward to. Super Mario Odyssey, you know, Kirby and Yoshi are fan favorites, a new Metroid. That being said, Nintendo didn't talk really at all about third parties, no, and that's a problem. So I feel like there's still questions. If I had to pick a winner from E3, I would go with Nintendo, but there's question marks for everybody here.
Yeah, yeah. Good point, but we're not going to just be talking about game news. We're actually going to dig into... Oh. I've been
a man
possessed. I can't do the Mario voice, but I'm feeling a little weird, Nate. Like, should be a little hat up here too.
You're so weird right now.
but we're not going to just do E3 news. We're going to actually dig into some hardware. Nate's going to show you how to disassemble a Nintendo dock. I'm going to show you.
And this will be the first time I did it, so I hope I don't like legitimately ruin this. But we're going to give it a shot.
You know, we have a fine history of messing up live demos, so okay. I don't know why that would change now. But before we get into that, let's take a break to thank these sponsors.
Let's face it, the process of billing clients is painful. It's time-consuming, but it doesn't have to be. Stop chasing your clients, save time, and know where your business stands with FreshBooks. FreshBooks' all-new version of their cloud accounting software will make running your business easy, fast, and secure. Their newly improved platform was developed by a small team of 10 using design thinking and lean UX processes. The FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and accounting reports like sales tax summary and profit and loss. FreshBooks makes it fast and easy to create and send professional-looking invoices. With FreshBooks Payments, your customer can pay straight from their invoice. Invoicing clients online will help you get paid an average of 11 days faster. See what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as outstanding invoice totals. You can also brand and set recurring invoices, send automatic payment reminders, or set automatic late fees. As a business owner, you know time is your most valuable asset. And FreshBooks' new time tracking feature addresses common challenges. You can easily bill for time by client and specific projects. Just press play to track your time to the minute. You can quickly identify gaps in the all-new timeline. And when it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did when you did it. Stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. You can track expenses by snapping a photo of your receipt or connecting your bank account and credit card to automatically import expenses daily so you can get rid of your old shoebox full of receipts. FreshBooks integrates with some apps that you already use and some you'll be glad you found. Stripe, Shopify, Gusto, Acuity Scheduling, and more. FreshBooks is also adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. It's really no wonder that they were included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/knowhow and enter knowhow in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We want to thank FreshBooks for their support of this episode of Know How.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you there. Welcome back. So now we're going to get into the Switch. I wanted to talk about some of the, if you're a new or existing Switch owner, there's some things you should know, maybe a few tips, a few tricks of things that you should pick up. Number one is a case, which you have a very elaborate case.
Yeah, so this is the Sheikah Slate case. It's made to look like Link's Sheikah Slate from Breath of the Wild.
I get it. What is this, some kind of rubber material?
Yeah, it's rubberized. Nice. It's super nice. I'm pretty proud of this. It's got a nice little zipper, and you can throw some game cartridges. I'm going all digital, so like literally the only game on cartridge I have right now is Breath of the Wild, and that's inside of my Switch. So this is sitting empty.
Totally with you on that, because the idea behind the Switch is it's going to be portable. I don't really want to be having to carry around cartridges. The only cartridge one that I own, I think, is Breath of the Wild. But I totally cheaped out on my case, too. Oh, you have like a sweet little Velcro?
Yeah, there's like this little elastic strap. So this actually came with like a, a special edition of Breath of the Wild that I didn't buy because it was sold out at GameStop.
Oh.
So I had to get this case after the fact. You can get them on eBay or whatever you want.
I feel like we have very on opposite sides of the scale as far as cases. Like yours is very nice and elaborate.
Yeah.
I went like super cheap on mine. I think I spent like $12 on this one, and I put stickers on it so that I could tell which side was up.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because otherwise it's identical
on either side. Yeah.
But same thing. No games, but there are slots for that.
Yep.
And then one of the other things I picked up was this travel charger, USB-C
I need to get one of those because if you look at the charger that comes with the Switch, it's like it's way bigger. It's like
it's not travel friendly.
It's not travel friendly at all.
I don't know about you, but the way I have my dock set up at home is it's a pain to get the charger out from behind my TV and stuff. Yep. So that was just not going to work for me.
No, it totally stinks.
But the next thing, if you're going to protect your Switch with a case, you're going to want to get a screen protector.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because
do you have one?
I don't have one, and I'll tell you why. I made a purposely bad decision specifically so I could test out how scratchable the display is with the dock.
So you're going to experiment with your Switch?
Yeah, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing for you. This is what I'm doing for us. I'm putting myself on the line here. Basically, like, if you have a Switch and then every time you put it inside of the dock, right here, there's this, like, little... Basically, you're sandwiching the tablet, you know, the body of your device right here. And inevitably, it rubs up against the plastic case here. And there's no, like, nice soft coating here. For a while, I was putting, like, a microfiber cloth in front and then putting it up top. But then I stopped doing that because I was worried about heat issues because that could mess with the airflow.
There's not a lot of airflow through there. And people were noticing that their switches were starting to curve because of the heat.
Which is a problem. And some of these docks come a little bent, as you can see here. This is a pretty malleable plastic. Like, this is not super stiff, right?
No.
And some of them come a little bent. There is a test that folks have been talking about online. If you take a penny and you slide it through here, if you can't slide the penny through, then your dock is bent.
You noticed scratches on your screen then?
I've noticed some very faint ones. I don't know if we can totally pick it up. But right here and right there, there are some kind of faint rubbing marks.
I do see those.
In the gloss there. Yeah. And, you know... Luckily, it's not on the part of the display where I'm seeing the game itself.
It's on the bezel there, but that would still bug me.
Ooh. Oh, I'm right there with you. You can see it on this side here, and you know I'm. It drives me nuts. It really does drive me nuts. But this is like I said, this is what I'm doing for the sake of science.
Right. Well, even on mine, so I've got the screen protector. You can kind of tell because there's like a little bit of a lip. And it's, you know, they make some nice ones. I think I got this. It was a 2-pack and it was like $10 and it's glass.
Yeah.
But even on mine, on the side over here, you can't tell on the camera, but there's a scratch from putting it in the dock.
But see, if you took the screen protector off, your display below should be okay, right?
Should.
So if this bothered you enough, you should be able to take it off and swap it out.
Mm-hmm.
I can never do that with this.
Yeah,
and you know, as we said earlier, I can't take my game saves from this and put it over to another console. If this thing gets damaged, if it dies or whatever, I have to start from zero, which I don't want to do with Breath of the Wild because I've already put, you know, like dozens and dozens of hours into that game.
I think I put like a good 80 hours into mine so far.
Yeah, and I'm not even close to halfway done with all the things I want to do in that game. I've never been a completionist, but this is like the one game where it's like I want to go to every shrine, I want to see every character, I want to go to every part of this map and this world. So I'm taking my time with this. Like, I don't think I'll be done with it until Super Mario Odyssey comes out, like in, you know, whenever in the fall.
Yeah, I think I still have like a month or two until DLC 4 comes out. So
yeah, and then there's that too, right? So, but all that being said, you know, the enthusiast community has kind of responded, and what people are doing is they're literally making their own Switch docks that don't have this, you know, plastic lip and don't scratch your display.
Because, okay, so there's multiple reasons, but one of them also is that you can't just get a USB to HDMI cable and then be able to plug it into your TV that way.
Exactly. Inside of this dock, there's some... you know, simple little converter. It's not like the most intelligent or elaborate thing of all time. We're actually going to take this apart and show you what that looks like and what's inside. But yeah, you can't unfortunately just get a traditional USB to HDMI dongle and plug it into your TV.
Which is crummy, and this is the only dock that Nintendo offers. There's an Amazon link to a portable one that you can get, but all these docks that you find on Amazon, like, I like this one because it's pretty slim. It will do a better job of being able to cool the Switch because there's more airflow that will go around it. But you have to remove the components from a existing Nintendo dock and then put that inside of that one.
And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to take this apart. We are going to show you the components basically just as you do it. And if you spent $25 on that dock on Amazon, you could do that. Mm-hmm. You can 3D print them yourself as well. You're going to show us some different designs that are out there.
Yeah, there's also another link I have to it's a pocket-sized Nintendo Switch dock. So if you are a 3D printer or you have a 3D printer, you can print this out and assemble it to your together, which I was going to do. I will show you why I don't have the filament to do that in a little bit. But yeah, I ran out of filament, and then the other 3D printer that we have here in the studio wasn't working. So
yeah.
But that was, I'll have a link to that in the show notes, so if people want to download that and modify it, they can.
Now, Nyko announced its own version of a portable Switch dock just this week, kind of tied to E3. And that might address some of these issues, but we don't know when that's going to come out, and it's going to be about $45-$50. Mm-hmm. And of course, so...
Well, how much is it to get just another Nintendo dock?
That's a great question. So if you buy the dock, it comes in this nice little box here. It comes with the power supply. This is $90. That's not cheap. It sucks that it's that expensive.
For a charger and some plastic with a converter.
Not cool, right?
Yeah.
So that would be a savings if you took apart your dock or whatever. But basically, you know, you might want to have multiple docks. You're playing in different rooms. You're going on whatever. I bought an extra dock specifically so we could use this here in the studio and do things like we're going to do today, take it apart.
Yeah.
And I have my other dock at home. But even that portable dock, you know, might be a solution for you at home because of the heating issues and the display issues that we talked about.
Ultimately, I want two docks because I want one that just lives in my living room, and then the other one I throw in my backpack and take it with me somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way to go. So, I spent $90 on this dock. We are going to take this bad boy apart.
There you go. I think that should work. So, full disclaimer, this comes from our iFixit, who's a sponsor on the show of the network. But this is a tri screw head at the top there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of screws here. It's a tri screw head. And these are like really, really simple to take out. This can be hopefully a fairly quick process. But there's a lot of these little screws in here. And now... You should know if you do this, you're probably voiding some kind of warranty for these Nintendo parts. Nintendo put this in a dock because they don't want people messing with it. Do this at your own risk, right?
Yeah, do this at your own risk. I mean, as far as disassembling components, this one looks relatively straightforward. It doesn't look like they put any, warranty tape on it. I mean, I guess we'll know once we break into it more, but...
Yeah, it's not loaded up with a ton of adhesive or things like that.
No.
And I think, actually, iFixit, as you mentioned, sponsor of the network, they
have a full teardown on their website.
Yeah, of like every part of the Switch, from like the tablet itself to the Joy-Con controllers to the dock. And they actually gave it a pretty good repairability score because it is used with a lot of screws rather than a lot of glue.
Yeah, I was looking at the disassembly of the Switch itself, and it's pretty compact. I mean, obviously, it's like a little tablet. I mean, I think isn't it based off of the NVIDIA Shield, pretty much?
Yeah, it uses a similar graphics processing unit and CPU, and it is very, very similar. But it's interesting with those similarities and with touchscreens in general and some similarities in components to other devices. There's been reports, Nintendo hasn't said this themselves, but there have been reports that they've been having a tough time getting parts because companies like Apple and Samsung and others are getting basically the parts first.
There's high demand for that hardware, yeah.
Exactly. So we removed all these little tri-headed screws, and then this little back plate just comes right off.
Okay, it looks like there's four long ones and then four little short ones. Not too bad.
All right, and then let's see.
What else do you need?
It looks like we're going to need a smudger and we're going to need a Phillips.
Okay.
And I should be able to just lift this up. If we get
so here's some plastic spudgers.
Awesome.
And then these are all the different bits that we can use. So Phillips, you say?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna need a Phillips. So
probably a tiny one.
Look, and a longish one, because down here these are Phillips screws.
Ooh.
All in each of these holes there, and we're gonna need to take those out once we get this lifted up and disconnected.
Okay.
Let's see if I can do this without breaking the thing.
Yeah, it looks like there's a little ribbon there that connects to probably the USB-C.
Yeah, we're going to have to disconnect that ribbon. And there you go. So it just pops right out. And let's see here. Maybe you can chime in. What would be the best way to disconnect this now from where we're at?
So a lot of times it looks like you
can lift that part up.
Yeah, one of these parts should lift up, and then you... Oh, I think the black back part. There we go. So there's this little black back part that lifts up, and then that allows you to get to the ribbon. I'm trying to be delicate because I don't want to tear that.
Mm-hmm.
But that should just lift up like
nice,
that.
Nice, nice, nice.
And then on the front here, these, I'm going to guess, go to the LED in the front, where I should just be able to pinch this and pull out. Come on.
And the little pull tabs here are pretty small, so they don't exactly make it super easy on you.
No. Sorry, Nate, you don't want that LED to work, right? Yeah, they're a little tight in there. I think what I'll need to do is get another little metal spudger. Always use the right tool for the job. There's been too many projects that I've broken using the wrong tool. Actually, Alex, remember when we took apart your Apple computer? Your old what Mac was that we took apart?
My SE.
Yeah, and I broke your RAM.
Oh man, a Mac SE.
It was a classic. Now it's just dirt.
So
it's
thanks,
garbage.
Thanks to that metal smudger and Brian's precise fingertips,
you're
able to get this disconnected from right here. So
that, I mean, as far as assembly is pretty simple.
Yeah, this right here, this is the guts.
That's all it needed to be. This is all just plastic shell for the rest of it. I mean, this goes to I don't know if you can see it in the top shot, maybe. You can kind of see it down there. That's like the little holster with a USB-C extender on there.
So this little extender, that's and there are some springs. That's what the switch sits on when it's charging up. And so let's see if we can get these Phillips screws out
and get to that.
But that's it. I mean, basically the guts, the brains of this dock is this little circuit board right here.
Yeah. And the thing that sucks is that's the proprietary part that you need to then be able to convert the signal to send to your TV.
Exactly.
Oh, Nintendo.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a pretty, interesting little... Actually, I think I'm going to need one that's longer than that? Yeah. Let's see if we can pull in something else. Burke gave me a longer Phillips with a smaller head. Let's see if it fits in there.
But, yeah, once you get all these components out, I mean, it's really simple to just throw it in a different case, like that one on Amazon, or if we 3D print one.
Yeah, basically, you just open up that. It'll come as a piece you can open up, and all of the ports are in the same spot. I think a lot of these cases don't have the need for the little springs that come with the existing switch USB charger, because it's really just a smaller piece. You're not having to navigate, a big piece of plastic that's holding the display in the front. And so it might even be simpler.
Yeah. I think if I take apart my dock and play around with this, I might just try and get a USB-C to... I guess you do have to use that little ribbon to get to it, huh?
Yeah, you're probably going to want...
You're going to have to use that, I guess.
Well, maybe that's something we can play around with in a future episode. But, all the pieces are here from Nintendo.
We just need to take it out of its plastic exoskeleton.
Yeah, and then basically you just need to have the new plastic exoskeleton that's a little bit smaller and a little bit less screen scratching.
Well, I feel like Nintendo did this just because it looks better in holstered, like for all their PR stuff.
Well, like, yeah, you know, if you're playing this on your TV, it does have a nice look, you know, when it's set in. I just wish, and you know, I'm hoping that this is something that will be addressed in maybe future dock updates or something like that.
Well, you know what they're
doing. But I'd like to see some kind of soft fabric put on the inside, you know?
That would be nice. Yeah, better ventilation would be another improvement. I wouldn't doubt if by the time that they come out with, like, there's going to be a Nintendo Switch S.
Yeah.
Or Nintendo
Switch XL.
XL. That they'll probably revamp the dock at that time.
Well, or if we're going with Nintendo's naming conventions, a new Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that's right. The new 3DS, which I was a sucker. I have one because I wanted the Pokemon version, so I got it.
Oh, you got the yellow Pikachu joint?
No, it's got like Charizard on the front of it, and it's got the Famicom colored buttons, which that's
money.
What I was a sucker for. That was like, I gotta have those.
I think that was from the Pokemon Red Blue pack.
Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Nintendo does a good job of making me spend my money. One of the things they announced at E3, which I was super excited about. And I've already pre-ordered all of them, which is just ridiculous and dumb. And
amiibos?
All the new amiibos. So they have like 4 Breath of the Wild amiibos. They have a ridiculous looking amiibo trio of Peach, Mario, and Bowser, all in wedding outfits. I don't know if we can pull this up, Brian, but
I'm going to do a Google search for it, see if I can find
these
it.
These are like 15 amiibos, to 20, no. 20 bucks each, and again, I'm like a 33-year-old man. I don't know if anybody should be spending much money on this, whether you're a, you know, 10-year-old kid or a, you know, adult like me. But nonetheless, I've already done it. I have so many amiibo.
So I have these ones up, Al, if you want to go to my laptop.
So Splatoon 2 is coming out in July. I have pre-ordered those 3. I skipped this Pikmin one because I've got an earlier Pikmin one. But, yep, my collection's growing.
Well, the thing I find fascinating about the amiibo stuff, too, is that there's, like, a black market now where you can create your own NFC tags.
You know what? I'm glad this is happening because Nintendo doesn't make many amiibos. So some of these amiibos, like the, you know, like these new Link ones that are coming, I've got those pre-ordered, too. They stopped making them. So if you want to go buy them aftermarket on eBay, they're like $100.
Oh, yeah. And they're crazy expensive. They've only made limited runs of them. And, you know, you could say...
So especially that Ocarina of Time, if you use that with Breath of the Wild, you can get Epona, his horse, through all the games in this game. It's like the only way to get Epona. But you got to spend $100 on eBay to get that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's the part that gets me. It would be one thing if they were just figurines, but because that they have components that integrate into the game that help you play, like... that's where it gets me a little angry, where I'm like, okay, like I might just buy the cards. Like I don't need the character, but I want those things in the game.
And so, like you said, there's a black market for it. You can actually buy these cards and you can make some of these yourself. I don't know. Would that make for a cool know-how episode in the future?
Probably. I might have to check with legal department.
Yeah, we need to check on that. So, okay, I finally removed all the Phillips screws from the second piece here, and I think I did. All right, and then this just lifts off as well. Sorry, let me get my
big
head out of the way. And so then now we've exposed that part. And so we'll move our little circuit board and ports over here. And then, as you said earlier, this ribbon is attached here.
To, like, holster.
Yep, and see, here's that spring I was talking about.
Yeah.
So this basically, as you're putting your Switch down on the USB charger here, this plate is spring-loaded so that... It gives some give. Since you're putting a whole tablet on here, you might get the angle wrong.
Yeah.
This is designed for that. And so that's what that's about. And it looks like we have 4 Phillips screws here on the bottom. Let me try and find the right way to show that to you. How do we do that?
It says that.
Oh, here you go.
There you go.
We have 4 Phillips screws here on the bottom, and then that will remove our little spring USB, and then we'll be able to free this ribbon.
Nice. Yeah, so then that's how you would then, you can put it in a different case and connect it together to the USB-C, and you should be able to project to your TV then.
Yeah, so pretty straightforward, pretty simple stuff. You know, if you want to take this adventure and do this yourself, it's really easy. You basically just need that tri-headed screwdriver. You need a Phillips. And, you know, if you're going to go ahead and do it, it's nice to get yourself one with a magnetic tip like this, since these are little screws, and a nice, skinny, kind of long screwdriver like this, so you can, get down since these screws are pretty far down.
Right. And if you ever want to, you know, that maybe put this all back together, you should probably hang on to the screws.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. Although, after doing this, as easy as it is, I don't want to put it back together. I want to find one of these little dock options.
Yeah.
And
in a future episode, we'll test a new dock, maybe the one off of Amazon. Hopefully, I'll be able to 3D print one. The reason I was not able to was because I printed something for a project I did for the Screensavers not too long ago. This little guy. This is a Raspberry Pi inside of a Nintendo, basically the NES Classic case.
Yeah, it has like the little grills here on the side, just like the NES, and this would be where you would put your old school cartridge, and then this would be where you plug in your controllers.
Yeah.
So it's made to mimic the look.
So right as I was going to print the rest of the pieces of this, I ran out of the filament, but inside the Raspberry Pi just hangs out, and if you ever wanted to build a NES Classic using a Raspberry Pi, well, I made a video showing you how to do it.
Why spend an exorbitant amount of money to buy an NES Classic when you can build your own? The Raspberry Pi 3 is a great retro machine capable of playing games from systems as old as the NES all the way to the N64. As far as hardware for this project, obviously, you're going to need a Raspberry Pi. I recommend the version 3 with its 1.2 GHz quad-core processor and 1 GB of memory, which makes the Pi finally capable of not just playing 2D side-scrolling games, but now has enough horsepower to play games from the first PlayStation and N64 era. Next, you'll need a micro SD card with at least 8 GB or higher, a USB drive, and a power supply capable of 5 volts with 2.5 amps. Anything less and the Pi won't have enough juice to play demanding games. You'll also need a controller. USB replicas of the SNES controllers go for about $14 for a pair on Amazon. For software, make your way to the RetroPie website at retropie.org.uk. There you'll find an image of the RetroPie needed for this project. Once downloaded, extract the file, and if you're a Windows user like me, download the Win32 disk imager to install the image to your micro SD card. Mac users can download Apple Pie Baker, and if you're an ultra-elite Linux user, well, I don't need to explain any of this to you. Once the image is finished writing, place the micro SD card into the Raspberry Pi. Hook up all necessary cables and boot up for the first time. You'll be greeted by a welcome screen for setting up your controller. Follow the mapping instructions, and once finished, you'll be at the RetroPie options menu. Now it's time to transfer ROMs to a USB drive. ROMs are digital versions of game cartridges and are copyrighted, so they are not included with the Raspberry Pi. But fortunately, I found some laying around in an old folder of mine. Format the USB drive and create a folder called RetroPi. Then plug it into the Pi and wait for it to stop blinking. Remove the drive and place it back into the computer. You'll now see folders and a ROM folder that has a subfolder for each emulator included. Move ROMs you have in their respective folders and plug the USB back into the Pi. Once again, wait for it to stop blinking and restart Emulation Station for it to recognize the freshly downloaded ROMs. You should now see emulators pop up with the games listed. To make the menu system a little more slick, we'll need the collective help of the internet. Go to the RetroPie options menu and select Wi-Fi. Enter your password and connect to your network. Then back out to the main menu and select Scraper. From there, you'll be able to fetch game descriptions and cover art. Now it's time to sit back and play some of your favorite games from the last 30 years on the big screen. PlayStation games like Final Fantasy VII and N64 games like Mario Kart run flawlessly. GoldenEye has some stuttering, but that could be fixed with some overclocking. If you want to go wireless, you can use a Bluetooth controller. In my case, the new Nintendo Switch Pro controller syncs easily to the Pi 3. The only thing left to do now is to find a case. This has been Brian Burnett from Know How, showing you how to build your own Raspberry Pi retro game machine.
Yeah, so that was the project for basically, like, why get an NES Classic, which we talked about in Amiibos and how crazy expensive those are to find. Same deal with the NES Classic.
Yeah.
And this will play PlayStation and 64. And if you did make the investment in getting a Switch Pro controller, which is, I think I paid $70. I think it's down to $64 now.
Okay.
Because it's Bluetooth, you can connect it to the Raspberry Pi or even your PC. You could do that.
So. Yeah, and it's a super great, comfortable controller.
It is.
Love the joysticks, the button placement. It's really, really nice. One of the big reasons why I didn't buy the Nintendo Classic is it just could play the games it had on it.
Just the games it had, and the controllers were connected, and the wires were like 3 feet long, I think.
And it's like, once I go down that rabbit hole, there's a lot more games that I want to play. And what makes this so ingenious and so great, and I love that it's so easy to do, is you can play NES games, you can play Super Nintendo games, you can go 64, you can go with Sega consoles, get your Dreamcast on, whatever makes you happy, like... I love it.
Yeah. Actually, it will do Dreamcast. Probably in a future episode, I'll show people how to do that because there is a list of emulators that comes integrated like with the program. But for some emulators, you have to go out and pull them down, and Dreamcast is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I did do that, but it's a little bit more complicated than I could like fit into that video.
Yeah, it depends how much work you want to do, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, if you got a Nintendo Classic, I'm not hating on you. That's great.
No, yeah.
You know, I hope you enjoy
it. I really wanted one. But the reason I did this project was because I didn't want to pay like $200 for one.
You pay less money and you can do so much more. You just got to take the time and the effort to go do it, right?
And one of the fun parts about this project was kind of finding the different cases that people had come up with. This one was actually from Daft Mike. And if you go on Thingiverse and you search for mini NES Raspberry Pi case, his will pop up. He got really
he painted
detailed.
It.
No, he didn't even paint it.
He just printed in different plastics?
Different colored filament.
Oh,
so
man.
Unfortunately, I only had one colored filament. But if you took the time, you could print it in different colors, make it look a lot like an NES Classic. And he went as far as to make mini cartridges that have NFC tags that will launch that game when you put the cartridge into it.
That is so cool.
Which I think is super cool, but I am not willing to put that much time into it. I'm cool with just having the menu system and thumbing through the library, but the sheer fact that he made mini cartridges to put in is pretty elaborate. So all props to Daft Mike. I think he's got a blog where he talks about doing all that stuff. So
very, very cool.
But that should that wraps it up for this episode.
All right. Well, thanks for letting me fill in for Padre a little bit here and getting our game on.
Totally. No, this has been a blast. And we've still got a few more to do without him. So I'm looking forward to those episodes. But as much help as you've been on this episode, I know there's other stuff you do here at Twit.
I'm on the new screensavers just about every other weekend. Had a little back-to-back streak because Leo's been on vacation. Occasionally filling in on Tech News Today as well, kind of as needed. And Triangulation. On Monday, I interviewed Steve Henn, the co-founder of 60DB, which if you love podcasts, and you probably do because you're listening or watching this show right now, it's an app you got to check out, a good mixture of audio and video. And we're also working on some future stuff that should be coming up soon enough.
Cool. Well, people can also find, there's other podcasts that you do, right?
Oh yeah. So I do a podcast with a couple friends called Buzzkill.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy, Mark Million from Bloomberg and Brian X Chen from the New York Times.
Nice.
30 minutes or less. We basically just talk about tech, politics, and pop culture.
Cool.
And if any one of the three of us gets bored with a topic at hand, we hit a buzzer. That kills the conversation and we move on. So we do
it
can get brutal. Sometimes we do cut each other off. For the most part, we're pretty polite about it. But every once in a while, anytime Mark and I start talking about sports, like Brian's just like, no.
It hits the buzzer.
I
feel like if we tried to do that on this show, somebody behind the board would...
would be throwing that out there.
He'd probably be hitting that button a lot, like right now.
Yeah. you can find me on Buzzkill. That's on like every single podcast app you could want. That's an audio podcast. And then I'm on Twitter at NateOG.
Awesome.
And I think that those are all the internet places you could want to find me.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. Also, if you want to interact with us outside of TWiD, there's also a great Google Plus community that we have. And I know there's going to be people out there who will have some questions, who might want to post their own projects of them disassembling the dock. And maybe they found a better case that we didn't find on Amazon, or maybe they have a better idea for a 3D printed case for a dock. If you do, or you want to ask questions or find help, the place to do that is on Google Plus. And just search for Know How. You'll see the title screen. It used to be Padre's face. We got rid of that because he's not always on the show. But another place that you can find all this information of the things that we... Yeah, that guy.
There he is.
He always finds a way to get on the show.
Even when he's not here, he's here.
Right?
He's right there. He's right behind us.
But if you want to find all the things that we talked about today, links to the articles that we talked about, links to the shell, links to be able to download the 3D model and stuff, that's all going to be on our website. You can find that at twit.tv/KH. And not only will you find that in the show notes, you'll find a way to download the episode or subscribe. And if you subscribe, you won't ever miss an episode. And why would you want to? Because now Padre's gone, things are going to get crazy.
He's coming back. Just for those who know, he will be back someday.
Is he coming back? Yeah, he should. Think? Come back. He'll be back.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll just fall in love with Portland and
it's kind
grow his hair out and just kind of like hang out in the sun. You know, who knows what could happen?
I wonder what Padre would look like with long hair. We'll do a Photoshop game of that sometime. But if you want to find out what's coming up on future episodes of Know How, or you want to see what projects I'm working on coming up, the best place to do that is to follow me on Twitter. I'm @cranky_hippo. And I have to say thanks to the third member who's been working with us today. He's got the buzzer.
Brian.
Whenever I get his name wrong, he hits the buzzer.
It's pronounced Alex.
I always thought it was Hal Gurney. Okay, I'll try and remember that for next episode. But thanks for watching, and now that you know how, get your game on. Boom, done.
Boom, shakalaka. You should have just one of those explosion animations.
At the very end, we have them on the TriCaster. The billboard, and yeah!